I'll pull back a little bit to keep everybody safe. I'm not prone to spit, but you never know. Is that cool or what to have everybody back? I'm just like, woo, that's fun. Fun. It's been nearly a year since the band has been together. So it's pretty cool. I can't see you, but I want to be able to see my notes, so I had to take my glasses off. I forgot to introduce myself last week, so, and my wife reminded me, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Wendell. I'm living love, learning what it means to live love by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. And I've had issues with pornography and overconsumption of alcohol, had some fits of rage in the past and some bouts with deep depression and some pretty significant panic attacks. So that's me. We're in the middle of the story of the dad with two sons, the really good dad with two sons. And I refuse from now on to ever call that the story of the prodigal son, because that's not what the story's about. The story's about the dad, not the son, not either son. It's about the dad. And just to bring us up to speed, if you weren't here last week, Jesus was born into a world that misunderstood and a church that misrepresented his dad, and he had it up to here. It was like, you are not going to do this anymore. You will not misrepresent my dad. I know him. I've spent all eternity with him, and I'm here to set the record straight. So he did it in the way he lived, the way he ministered, and he did it in what he taught, and he did it in the way he died. He did it in the way he washed feet. He did it in so many different ways. But this story, to me, is becoming one of the clearest one of the clearest stories he ever told to say, this is who my dad is. And so he told this story so that the church leaders could hear it, so the people who had suffered under the church leaders could hear it, so he could set the record straight. This is what you said my dad was. This is who my dad really is. So as we go through this story, I want us to think of a few things. One is, we have a dad who ran a family business with his two sons. I don't want to think of the church as a business, but I don't know of any other metaphor Jesus could have chosen than a family business. So I think what he's saying is, if you want to know how to do this corporate human God thing, you know, that we're going to call the church, you want to call it religion, you want to call it the temple, you want to call it whatever you want to call it. But this is not just individual to God. This is corporate. This is gathered people who relate to God. If you want the most accurate and clear metaphor for that, it's a dad running a family business with his boys. Now, like I say, I don't like to call the church a business, but I think it's the best metaphor Jesus could come up with. So he's talking about the way we corporately do this relationship with God. And the only label I can think of that is the church, the big C church, you know, the real church. So you're going to talk about this family business. We may have touched on this last week, I don't know. But you think about a family business where one of the sons, I mean, there's three of them, there's the dad and the two sons, where one of the son comes to the dad and he says, I want my share of the business. I want my share of the business. And the dad basically just cuts him a check. But when he does it, he also cuts another check for the other son. Think about how robust that business had to be for him to be able to do that and them to remain solvent. I mean, just, I'm not an entrepreneur, but some of you all are. I'm not stupid, though. And I know you can't go to cutting checks. I mean, big checks, huge checks to your two sons, and the family business keeps running. Any businessman worth his salt would look at that and say, that is not good business. That is ignorant business. So this is the first thing I think we learn out of this parable or this story. Good businessmen don't understand how grace works. If you run a bank or a business with money and you start writing checks like that, you run out of money. You cease to be solvent. You fall apart as a business. But if you run a family business, the church, that is based on grace, grace only grows when you give it away. You can just give it and give it and give it, and it won't shrink your resources. It actually expands your resources, which makes me think about the way we relate to each other, the way we do church together, the way we do community together. If I show too much grace to them, they'll think that I'm smiling on their bad deeds or their bad choices. They'll think that I'm agreeing with them going down the wrong road. The guy was running away from home with a huge big pot of his dad's money as a bad choice. And the dad says, no problem. I've got grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. You're not going to run this out. In fact, the more grace I give away, the stronger it gets and the bigger it gets. The world does not understand, and I have not understood up until recently, the economy of the kingdom. The economy of the kingdom is absolutely backwards from Wall Street and any bank you go into. You give it away, it grows. It doesn't get weaker, it gets stronger. If that's just a concept, it may not work with you. But if we start practicing it, because I thought, well, I'll give her a go. I'll give it a try and see what happens. So I started to do that, to give it away. And I realized, oh, wow, I'm not getting weaker. This is not depleting me. This is making me stronger. This is just... So yeah, on a business level, it's bad business strategy. But in terms of the kingdom, that's the way we do things. And to be honest, if you look at this story, it really works. It works. Well, let's just dig a little bit deeper into this story. So when you look at this, you grow up, little bitty, you grow up, and dad says, you want to go with me? And you say, sure. So he slings you up on his shoulders, and you're a little boy, little bitty. He slings you up on his shoulders, and he walks out into the fields where they're working, and he will lead all the employees that are working. And so you grow up, and you know nothing but your dad as the CEO or the boss of this family business. It doesn't compute any other way. He's my dad, he's the boss. Dad, boss. Both boys grew up on the shoulders, out there as he's wandering around looking at the business. So you have a choice to make. And just, we're gonna talk about this in a minute. You have a choice to make. Do I primarily see him as the boss? Or do I see him as my dad? I'm just going to let that sink in. Your relationship with God, is he primarily your boss or is he your dad? And what's interesting is this story is very telling. For him to cut the checks and give younger son and older son their huge pieces of the pie is a family move. That is not a business move. That's not a CEO move. And when we get to the very end of the story, remember when older brother hears the party, he comes running in and he is protesting. I have worked for you all this time. He's been out whoring. The Bible doesn't say that he was whoring, but older brother makes that assumption. He's been out whoring and doing all this stuff. And the father looks at him and says, we would have had a party any day you want. Then the very last thing he says is so telling. Didn't you know that everything I have is yours? Now think about that. We've got this robust business with this father who is so good at the way he does his business that it remains robust. It's sizable, it's strong, it's functioning. And he looks at his older son and he says, you didn't realize this was yours? This is yours. Sounds much more like a father than a boss or a CEO. And then when the party son, we'll just call him the party son, I don't like prodigal son anymore. When the party son returns home, he comes home with this idea of let's work. I'll work for you. I'll hire on. And dad just sloughs him off. It's like, silly boy, you know, you and your funny ideas, like you're going to hire on with me. And he says, well, no, we're going to go party. And what's cool, and I think I mentioned this last week, I don't know, you're going to forgive me because we're going to stay in the same story. But never in any other, and Jesus talked about several parties, never in any other party did he describe so carefully how they were going to do this party. I think I mentioned that last week. And he says, no, this is a ring and robe party. This is we're going to party like kings. And we're going to go out and we're going to find the best cut of beef to have this party. So Jesus goes into great detail to describe, this is not the normal happy birthday to you party. This is a butt-kicking, my boy's home party. That is not what a boss would do. That is not what a CEO would do. That's what a dad does when his boy comes home. So when we look at this business that we're calling the Big C Church, when we look at this business, is God the boss or is he the dad? Well, the buck stops with him. There's no doubt about that. But if this story is any indication, this God is much more interested in being our father than being our CEO. Just let that, not all of us have good daddy stories. I understand that. Not all of us, when you start talking about a good father, you just check out. You say, I didn't have a good dad. I don't get that part. Well, just stop for a minute and let God be who he is. Separate your not so good thoughts of your father. Separate that out. And then just let God be who he is in this story. Just start to let your mind reprogram. So my heavenly father is not like my earthly father was. He's like this. Let that sink in. Well, let's move. Oh, and the other thing I want to say is, so a younger brother came home with this idea of working, and dad said, no, we're going to party. And we're going to expand this later. But you get this distinct idea that with the dad, his priority was not how much work can I get out of these boys at the end of the day? You know, how much green can I earn from their labor by the end of the day? His whole idea of the family business was, let's find reasons to celebrate each other. Let's just party hardy. Any drop of the hat, let's party. Let's have a good time celebrating each other. It's not about how much work we can get done. It's how much we can celebrate each other. That changes everything. See? I told you. So the second point tonight, since we're threatened with weather, I'm going to tell you where we're at. We're in the second point. This dad knew his boys. He raised them. He knew them. And he knew that one son was this hyper-responsible overworker. He was a workaholic. And he knew that from day one. And he also knew that he had another son who was prone to wander. He was curious about things. You know, it was hard for him to walk a straight line because he was easily distracted looking at other things. Oh, look, this is cool. Oh, look, that is cool. So he knew that these two boys were who they were, and he could have forced them to become dutiful employees and healthy employees. The one who works too hard, you're not being healthy. Stop working so hard. The one who wanted to wander, concentrate on what we're doing here. We've got a business to run. We've got a quota to make. We've got a production, you know, goal that we're going to reach. So you stop wandering and you stop beating yourself to death and get some rest so I can get some real work out of you. He could have prohibited them from being who they were, but he didn't. He didn't. He didn't stop the wandering son from leaving. And he didn't stop the overworking son from overworking. He simply let them be who they were. And you think about a dad, a God, who has to force the issue. I'm going to make you who I want you to be. I don't like who you are. I'm going to remake you into somebody productive for me, more in a certain image that I've got of you. That's the God I grew up with, that I wasn't pleasing to God, and somehow I needed to remake myself into another kind of child, another kind of son, before he would be pleased with me. In this story, we have a God, or a dad, same person, who vehemently loves each son, and both of them are going off the wrong direction in extreme, working too hard, wandering too hard. But he loves them equally. And what's cool about this is as he let them go, you go ahead and work too hard, you go ahead and wander. As he let them go, they both had room and space to discover themselves. If dad had made wandering son stay home, he would have never had opportunity to come to his senses. Now think about the logic of that. If dad makes wandering son stay home, he would have stayed home reluctantly, rebelliously, but he would have stayed home and he never would have had his aha moment, ever. But dad says, I'm going to give you space to explore who you are. I'm going to even finance it for you and let you go explore who you are. And the whole time, dad knew that he was going to come to his senses. The overworking son, he lets him overwork and overwork and overwork. All the time knowing that that rage was building up. The father's not stupid. He knows his son. He sees the rage building up inside of him. He doesn't stop him. He doesn't give him a little talk. You shouldn't be so mad. You shouldn't be so bitter. You shouldn't be so negative. You shouldn't be so pessimistic or judgmental. He didn't do that. He just let him be who he was, knowing that one day he would have his aha moment. And so sure enough, young son comes home. They have a party. Old son looks and sees what's going on and comes in and unloads on dad. He accuses his younger son of things he didn't know anything about. He's whoremongering. He didn't know that. He accuses dad of all kinds of things. You're a slave driver. You've made me do this, that, and the other. The dad says, no, I haven't. We could have partied anytime you wanted to, and all that I own is yours. But he gave the older son the freedom and the leeway to speak his mind. Don't think that older son didn't walk away and say, oh my, that is not the response I expected. Don't think the older son didn't go away and for the next few days process that conversation. You know he did. He heard those words that he said to his dad, the accusations he made against his brother, the accusations he made against his dad. He had to relive those. That never would have happened if the dad hadn't given him space to process and to think it through. So let's talk about religion, okay? Let's just talk about the church. I was brought up believing that God was the cosmic boss. God had a certain plan for every single one of us. Don't dare vary from the right or left, because this boss has a plan and he's working his plan, and you can't. So he's the CEO and we are his minions. Think of Despicable Me. Get that picture in your mind. He is the CEO and we're his little minions. Some of us just have one eye. We work for the company. We work hard for the company. We follow all the policies and procedures that we can possibly find. We scour the document to find the policies and procedures because I don't want to vary from the left or right. I don't want to displease this boss that has to be in charge. And you know what? You got one chance to get it right. One chance. You get it wrong, you burn for eternity in the fires of hell. You tell me how that fits in this story in any way, shape, or form. Jesus said, this is who my dad is. This is how he feels about his children. And this is how he runs the family business. How do you get that out of this? You can't. We learn it from somewhere. We listen to somebody who we think is real smart, or we grow up under bad preaching, or we grow up under bad teaching, or we read the wrong books. I don't know. I don't know where we get it, but we get it somewhere. I want to read this last thing, and then I'm finished. All this is just notes. This is actually, I'm going to read what I wrote. What if life is this story? Not a job we do for God, but a family adventure we celebrate with him. And what if, like this story, God has this divine string tied around the heart of each child that he is gently tugging toward home? That's not what I grew up with. But I'm looking at this story, I think, what a God. What a God. I want to just keep digging. I don't know what I'll find out next week, but we'll keep digging.